The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Moed Katan Daf Yud. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Shehebar family in memory of their father and grandfather Gavriel ben Zakiya. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Alun Ishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf right at the beginning of Daf Yud on the top line. Hahidyo Tofer Kedarko. We learned in the Mishnah that an amateur is able to sew on Chol HaMoed in the normal fashion. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami Hidyot. What's the case of a Hidyot? How does a Hidyot sew? Amre Debe Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'enu Yachol Lehotzi, Male Mahat Bevat Echad. Which means a professional is able to take the needle and with the thread, of course, and go in and out of the garment a few times, the size of the needle itself, and then after he pulls in one shot and all the stitches are formed, which means he doesn't have to go in and out fully for each stitch. He goes in and out quickly for each many stitches, and then after he pulls once, and all the stitches form a straight line. So if somebody cannot do that, he's considered a hidyot. He's considered an amateur. Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina Amar, Kol she'enu yachol lechaven imra behefet haluko. Which means, if a person is not able to make a hem at the bottom of the garment, if he cannot sew it on straight, that means he's not a professional. Which means in the olden days, as well as today, at the bottom of the garment they would take a thick piece of garment and they would sew it to the hem, to the bottom, in order to give it extra strength. So when you're sewing it, you have to sew it that it'll be straight across. If a person cannot sew that hem, that extra garment, and keep it straight and consistent across the whole bottom of the garment, so he's considered a hidyot. So again, those are the two ways of a hidyot. Either he is somebody that cannot sew many stitches and then pull in one shot, or he's unable to sew the hem evenly at the bottom of the garment. It should be pointed out in the top Tosfot says, Nir'ed de'davka le'tzorech ha'moed, which means that which we let even a non-professional sew on Chol HaMoed, it's davka if it's for tzorech ha'moed. Aval b'chinam, lama yatiru, afilu al yedei shinui, but just stam to sew for no purpose, it's not permissible. So Tosfot is giving us a very important rule, that the whole law of sewing on Chol HaMoed, even an amateur, is only because you need it for the Mo'ed. But stam to sew for no purpose, even if a person would make a shinui, would be asur. Then he says, Mi'u lo aidi bedavara aved. We're not talking over here where there's going to be a financial loss, or there's going to be a loss in general. De'echad ika davara aved, because if there is going to be a loss, kaimalan can be yoseh, de'en matzrich shinui bedavara aved. Which means, if there's davara aved and you don't need a shinui at all, then the person could sew in the regular fashion in order to save the loss. Ve'echad de'begadav u'min alav mekura'im. Let's say a person, Tosfot says, his garments or his shoes are ripped. V'im yaniach otam ad lahar ha'moed yitkalkelu. Let's say if he leaves them in an unfixed manner, they're going to ruin. Which means if he doesn't fix them immediately on the holiday, they're going to ruin by the end of the holiday. Ra'iti rabotai she'en mekilin klal la'atir afilu al yedin nukhri. Tosfot says from his rabbis, in such a case will not be lenient to fix it on Chol HaMoed. It seems you're not wearing it on Chol HaMoed. Stam, you just want to fix it because it's going to ruin. If you don't fix it on the holiday, if you wait, he says it's asur, they were not lenient, even al yedin goy. In any event, we continue the Gemara. The Ha'uman Machlib. We said a professional, he's able to sew in a type of way that's called Machlib. My Machlib, what does Machlib mean? Rabbi Yohanan Amar Mafsiya, which means he literally jumps, meaning he does not put the stitches next to each other. He does one stitch and then leaves like a space and puts the next stitch a little further away. Similar to the teeth of a dog. The dog's teeth are not right next to each other. There's space between them. So therefore it calls that stitch, the Mishnah says, Machlib, which means you sew like the configuration of the teeth of a dog, which means a professional cannot sew in the normal manner. He has to be mafsiya, has to leave space between the stitches. Rabba Bar Shmuel Amar Shine Kalbeta. So Rabba Bar Shmuel says, no, a different type of stitch called Shine Kalbeta, which literally means the teeth of a dog. The teeth of a dog are not straight, they're zigzag. And that's the way a professional is allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed. He has to make a shinui. So what's the shinui? He does one in and one out, which means he does not sew in a straight fashion. He does it in a, like we said, zigzag fashion, like the teeth of a dog. And that, the name of the stitch is called Shine Kalbeta. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says Machlib. So we have two interpretations of Machlib, either Mafsiya or Shine Kalbeta. Then we learned in the Mishnah, Misargin et Hamitot. We learned in the Mishnah that it is permissible to Misareg the Mitot. The Gemara is going to ask, what does this mean, Misargin? My Misargin. What does it mean, Misargin? Umay Mematehin. Which means at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, you're even allowed to be Mimateyah. So we want to understand these terminologies. We have a machloket over here in the names of Hizkiyah and Rabbi Yohanan. Had Amar Misargin, what it means, Misargin Sheti Va'erev, which means in the olden days they would have a bed made out of wood, let's say it was just a frame. So they would take ropes and they would put the ropes lengthwise and then widthwise, and then they would sleep on them. They would put a pillow on top and sleep on it. That's the way they would make, let's say, the box spring or the mattress. They would put, again, ropes lengthwise and widthwise. So that's the word misargin. Sheti ve'erev, lengthwise and widthwise. Umimatechin, and when it says in the Mishnah mimatechin, sheti belo erev, it means just lengthwise and not widthwise. So that's the first opinion. Ve'hadamar misargin sheti belo erev. And another opinion says, no, misargin is just sheti, just putting the ropes lengthwise. Umimatechin shimaya lafui mimatecho, which means mimatechin is not putting ropes at all. That means if the ropes are there already, you're allowed to tighten them. For example, let's say the ropes on the bed are sagging, so then you'd be allowed to tie them. So it comes out we have a great machloket how to learn misargin and mimatechin. Let's review the machloket. According to the first opinion, misargin is sheti ve'erev. You're putting the ropes on the bed lengthwise and widthwise. And mimatechin is the opinion you can only put it lengthwise. The second version is misargin is only putting it lengthwise. And mimatechin is not putting the ropes at all. Just you're able to tighten existing ropes that are there on the bed. Ini, we have a country, we have a question. Which means, everybody agrees, the opinions in the Mishnah, which would be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which are the opinions in the Mishnah, She'en mafshilin chavarim lechetechida, that on Chol HaMoed it is forbidden to twist ropes. How do you make ropes? I guess you take material and you twist it and you make it into a cord or a rope. So everybody agrees that it's forbidden to be mafshil havalim, to twist ropes on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama leman davar misargin sheti ve'erev umatechin sheti belo erev. If you're going to tell me that misargin means making a sheti ve'erev, and umatechin means sheti belo erev, haynu diktani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul. So now I understand what Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul said, v'shavin she'en mafshilin havarim mechetechila. That when he said that you cannot make the ropes, which means you can put the ropes on the bed, either sheti ve'erev or just sheti, but you cannot make the ropes. So that statement makes sense. She says, the only argument is, could you do sheti ve'erev or just sheti? But making the ropes itself, everybody agrees it's going to be asur. Ela lemandaman misargin sheti below erev. But according to the opinion that says that misargin is doing the sheti alone, mimatehin shimayarafuya ya mimateho. And according to the opinion of mimatehin, it means you cannot even put ropes at all. That opinion holds you could just tighten. Hashta sheti ve'erev amartlo. If you're telling me that there's an opinion that says you can't even do sheti ve'erev on the bed, you're just able to tighten. Havalim lechetahilam mebaya. Do you have to tell me that you can't make ropes? I mean, it goes without saying. Which means, according to that opinion that's telling me that mimatehin means you cannot even put sheti ve'erev, you cannot put the ropes on the bed at all, that you could only tighten. So therefore, if you cannot put ropes on the bed, you can't make ropes. So that statement doesn't make sense. Why would you have to tell me that everybody agrees? Of course, pashut. So the Gemara says, kashya. You're right, it's a kashya. That statement, it does not make sense if you're telling me that the word mimatehin means tighten. Which means, if the word mimatehin, which means if the biyuda is saying that you can only tighten, but you cannot put even sheti ve'erev on the bed itself to place the ropes on the bed, so coach again, if you can only tighten and you cannot put any ropes on the bed itself, certainly you cannot make the ropes. So the Gemara leaves that in the kasha. The Ritva over here actually answers the kasha. Whenever it says the word kasha in the Gemara, that means there is a possible answer. And he wants to say like this, that there, I could have thought like this, maybe sheti ve'erev is asur. Why? Because I can tell you, you could sleep without sheti ve'erev. Which means I'll tell you, I guess when a bed there's no sheti ve'erev. So I could tell you that maybe you could place, let's say, pillows in between the bed, you know, to elevate it, and then you'll sleep on the pillows, or you'll sleep on the comforters that you'll put on the floor, let's say. However, if you don't have havalim at all, if you don't have ropes at all, so then you're going to have to sleep on the floor. So then already could be they allowed you to make havalim. It's kamash malan, that shelo hitiru. They're just giving you a havamina. That you might have thought maybe making ropes, putting the sheti ve'erev, maybe it's asur. Because why? Maybe you can sleep on that bed even without sheti ve'erev. Just put some pillows over there, and you'll be able to sleep, let's say, on the pillows and so on and so forth. But if you don't have ropes at all, I might have thought you can make the ropes. The katailas, you don't have to sleep on the floor. Kamash malan, making the ropes is asur. In any event, the Gemara says, Amar le'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le'Rabbi Chaya bar Abin, mi'ika le'man d'man misargin sheti below erev. Is there an opinion that says that the word misargin means just putting sheti, putting the ropes in the length of the bed without the erev? V'atena, could that be? V'atena, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Meiro Mer Hamita, when does a bed become mekabel tum'ah? Mishi yisrog ba shelosha batim. When you weave in it three boxes, which means we're talking about a bed, the laws of tum'ah. When is it considered a bed to be mekabel tum'ah? So we're talking about a bed that has already the sheti ropes across it. So it says, once you put three ropes widthwise, and you make three boxes, so going widthwise, so now it's already considered a bed. Which means a bed is only a bed when you have a sheti and an erev. So therefore, for sure, misargin, when we say you're making the bed, for sure it has to be sheti ve'erev. That's considered a bed, like we see in this case where we have the tumah. Ela ki ata ravin amar b'misargin kula amado peligin de sheti ve'erev. So now we go back. Everybody agrees that misargin is sheti ve'erev, because we see a bed cannot be called a bed unless you have sheti ve'erev. Ela ki peligi b'mimatehin. The machloket is on what is the word mimateyach. Mor sabar mimatehin sheti below erev. One rabbi holds that mimatehin is just putting the sheti without the erev. That's mimatehin. Umor sabar, and another opinion says shimayarafu imimatecho, and the other opinion says no, that you cannot put it at all. Imimatechin just means you can tighten the ropes that are already there. So now we're redefining the mahlok. There's no mahlok about misargin. Everybody agrees misargin is sheti ve'erev, because that's considered a bed. So what's the mahlok? And how do you explain the word mimateyach? Which means one says mimateyach, just putting a sheti without an erev, and the other opinion says no, It's talking about where you cannot put anything at all. Memata means tightening the ropes. Metive, we have a question. Misargin etamita. You're allowed to be misareg the mita and chola moed. The answer, nichlomar shememateachin. And it goes without saying that you're able to be memateach. Devre Rabbi Meir. That's the words of Rabbi Meir. Actually, this is a. Right, this is the quote, the Shita of Rabbi Meir. It can be Misareg, and it goes without saying, can be Mimateyah. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Mimatehin, Abalo Misaregin. Rabbi Yosef says, no, you can only be Mimateyah, but you cannot be Misareg. Ve'yesh Omrim, En Mimatehin, Kol Ikar. The third opinion says, you cannot be Mimateyah at all. Bishlama Lemandabar Mimatehin, Sheti Bilo Erev. If you want to tell me that mimateach means just putting a sheti without a erev, hainu da'atu yesh omrim de'efluge. So I understand what the yesh omrim is saying. The yesh omrim is mahmir. We don't want you to put ropes on the bed bichlal. So okay, I can hear that. However, ela leman da'amar shima yarafui mimateacho. But if you tell me that mimateach means just tightening the ropes, the yesh omrim mimateacho namelo. Are you going to tell me that the Yeshua is going to say you can't even tighten ropes? What should be the Isur in tightening the ropes? The ropes are there already. All you're doing is tightening it. In, yes, he's going to say it's a sur. Because what's your problem? You worry about that the ropes are sagging, so you could just put pillows underneath the bed to elevate it, and you could put pillows in between, and you don't have to tighten it at all. So there's a way to use the bed even without tightening, and therefore, since you have another option, it would be considered a tidha, and therefore, lo tarhinan, we don't want you to make a tidha. So therefore, comes out, let's review the opinions that we come out with in this Gemara. The shitot are basically like this, that misargin, the Mishnah said, misargin itamitot. You're allowed to, on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, misareg the beds. And according to the Biyose, he said you're allowed to be mimateyah. So what is the terminology? Is maskana. Everybody agrees misargin means putting sheti ve'erev, which means according to the Tanakhama v'al Mishnah, you could put ropes on the bed, lengthwise, widthwise, no problem. You have to say that this is considered like davar avid. You need to sleep on the bed. So therefore, even though it's a tirhat to put the ropes on the bed to make it sleepable, but if you don't do that, you're not going to be able to sleep the normal way. So therefore, he was matir. Rabbi Yosef said, no. The only thing we're going to allow you is to be mimateyah. That's mahluk what mimateyah means. Does mimateyah either mean just putting sheti ropes, putting the ropes lengthwise? Now, how are you going to sleep on the ropes lengthwise? You have to say you're going to put, let's say, pillows in between just to fill in the gaps in order that you can sleep on the bed. And some say the word mimateach means no, you can't put the ropes at all. You can only tighten the ropes that are already there. And there's a third opinion, Yeshua, that says you can't even be mimateach, which means either you can't even just put a sheti, you can only, you cannot be mimateach at all, which means you cannot even put a sheti, but you can tighten. But if you learn that it means tightening, you can't even tighten. Why? Because that opinion will say, just put pillows underneath in order to elevate it and sleep like that. So those are the three opinions. Again, the first opinion is Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah, which is the Stam Mishnah that says you can be Misareg. That means you can make the bed in the normal way, Sheti V'ayrev, with the ropes. Second opinion would be Rabbi Yosef. He would say Mimatehin. And that's mahlagu matehin is. Either matehin means just sheti or tightening them. And the yesh omrim that we just learned, hold, you can't even be mimateyah. Can't do anything. You cannot put ropes on and you can't even tighten the ropes. Which is according to one opinion, you wouldn't be able even to tighten the ropes if that's the way mimateyah is interpreted. Comes the next Mishnah. Ma'amidim Tanur v'kirayim v'rehayim b'mu'ed. One is able to establish a tanur. Tanur is the old time ovens that they used to have. Tanur was able to fit, according to in the times of the Gemara, the oven is able to fit Fine. Which means the tanur is able to fit one pot in it. It's smaller. And a kirayim is a bigger type of oven, and it can fit two pots. That's the difference between a tanur and a kirayim. Again, tanur is big enough to put one pot in, and a kirayim you're able to fit two. So you're allowed to make both type of ovens on chol ha-moed. V'rehayim is the millstone. What was basically the millstone? It was two stones. They used to grind wheat with it. There was an upper stone and a lower stone, and they would lower their upper stone on the lower stone and turn it, and that would cause the wheat that was in between to become ground. So it says you could do that b'moed. Now, ma'amidim, what does ma'amidim mean? So that she says she'osin otam nechatechila. We actually allowed to construct these ovens nechatechila on the moed. According to Tosafot, he learns ma'amidim is you're fastening them into the ground, which it seems they would permanently place it in the ground. That's what ma'amidim means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mechabeshin et arehayim batechila. He says you're allowed to be mechabesh. Mechabesh is to gouge. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. You can gouge the millstone on chol ha-moed lechatechila. So the Gemara says, "My mechabeshin." What does the word mechabeshin mean? When you're gouging, what does this mean? Rav Yehuda Amar menaker rehaya, menaker, which means you place ridges on the bottom stone. Which means, let's say you have a stone that she says that's old, and the stone became smooth. When the stone, the bottom stone is smooth, and you put the kernels on them, and you lower the top stone, it doesn't crush them well. You need to make grooves in order for it to catch the wheat and cause it to grind well. So you're allowed to make grooves on a millstone that smoothened out. You can make the new grooves on chol ha-moed. So that's what mechabeshin means. Rabbi Yehiel Amar Bat Ina. Rabbi Yehiel comes along and says, it's Bat Ina. It's making a eye hole, which means on the top stone, in order to get the wheat from the top stone to the bottom stone, it seems the two pieces, the two stones were connected to each other like. So they would make a hole in the top stone and drop the wheat in that hole. So you'll have to pierce a hole in the top stone on chol ha-moed. So again, either mechabeshin either means making the ridges, mechabeshin, making the ridges in the bottom stone, or bat aina, making a hole in the top stone. According to Tosafot, Tosfot learns differently than Rashi here. Tosfot learns that we're talking about even on a new millstone that yet was not yet even, they did not put the ridges yet at all. So comes the, again, so Tosfot learns is talking about an old one that got smoothened out, the bottom one, if we need to put the ridges again, according to the Biuda, and according to Tosfot, no. Davka on a new one. Look at the Tosfot, the Biuda. He says, "Ubahadasha kamar." Okay, look at the Gemara further. Metive, we have a question. Ma'amidim tanur v'kiraim b'moed. You're allowed to set up the tanur and kiraim on moed. Ubilvad shelo yigmor melechtan. So long as you do not finish the work. You don't finish the or the work of making the oven. Devrei Rabbi Eliezer, v'achemim morim af yigmor. So you can even finish it completely. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Meshimo, ma'amidim et ha-hadasha. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to establish a new millstone this is talking about. Umechabeshin et ha-ishana. And you're allowed to gouge an old millstone. The yeshomrim en mechabeshim kol ikar. And some say, no, you cannot gouge a millstone at all. According to the opinion that says that mechabeshim means that you're making the ridges on the bottom stone, so we have a case. You have a case in an old millstone that what? That became smoothened out. So you have a case that you have a case where what? The it became smooth, so that's why you're able to do it. Ela leman de amar bat ina. But if you're telling me that it's talking about making a hole, yeshena bat ina lama la, which means if you're talking about an old millstone over here, and you're telling me that You can gouge it according to one opinion. What do you mean? If you tell me it's making the eye hole, an old one has an eye hole already. So what are you talking about? How could you tell me it's making the hole? The hole's there in an old one. So if you want to tell me it means making the ridges, so an old millstone, it's possible that the ridges smoothened out. Okay, I understand. So it makes sense. That's why it says over here, you're allowed to gouge an old one. So if you tell me it's making the ridges, because the old one, the ridges smoothened out, so it's no problem. But if you're telling me that making the gouging means making the hole, what do you mean? An old one has a hole already. The holes in the top stone, that's where you put the weed in. So the Gemara says, Kegon de kabare l'arvuche tefe purta. No, somebody has a hole, you just want to widen the hole on top. So therefore, even an old one is shayach to get involved with the bataina, the eye hole on top. Comes the Gemara says, Ravuna, Shamre lahu gavra de kamenake rechaya becholan de mo'ada. Ravuna heard a certain fellow, he was making ridges in the millstone on Chol HaMoed. Amar, he said, Man hai, who is this one over here? And the Gemara says, Itchil gufe deka mahil. Deka mahil cholan wada. Again, let's read it again. Man hai de itchil gufa. This one over here, that's doing this work on Chol HaMoed, his body should become desecrated. Again, this person over here, itchil gufa, his body should be desecrated. Why? De kamachil chula de mo'ada. Because he's desecrating Chol HaMoed. He didn't even see the guy. He just heard him doing this work, making the ridges to the stone of the millstone, and he cursed him. He said, this person that's doing melacha, he should be punished. So the Gemara says, Savar la ki yesh umrim. He must hold like the yesh umrim of the Braita that we just quoted above. And what was the yesh umrim that we just quoted above? We said, En mechabeshim kol ikar. That you cannot make gouging on a millstone at all. So he held like that. So he didn't even have to see if it was a new one or an old one. He knew right away. Once he heard the sound, he knew right away the guy's making chidul mu'ed, and therefore he cursed him. Rav Hamma. Rav Hamma was Doresh. Nokrim rechaim b'mu'ed. That you're able to pierce the rechaim, the millstone, to make the ridges on Chol HaMoed. Mishum Rabbi Meir Amar Afilu Sus Shirochev Alav V'Hamor Shirochev Alav Mutar Litol Tziponayim B'Cholo Shel Moed. It is permissible to cut the nails of the horse or the donkey that one rides on Chol HaMoed. You can cut its nails. Which means it seems it wasn't able to walk comfortably if you're not going to cut its nails. So therefore, in order to be able to travel with the horse on Chol HaMoed, either so you don't give the animal tsa'ar, or so the animal's stam will be able to walk properly, you can cut the animal's nails on Chol HaMoed. Tosfot does say, on the bottom of Big Chiddush, Pirush betosefta letzorech HaMoed. She's only talking about where you're using the horse, where you're going on a destination for the purpose of the Moed. Mashma she'asur lirkov b'chinam. He says, mashma from the Tosafot, that you cannot go just traveling on a horse for no reason. It has to be a purpose, maybe visiting a rabbi, or go doing another type of mitzvah. So stop, if you need to go for a purpose, a justified purpose, you can cut the nails of the horse. The Tosfot also says that today that the horses wear bronze shoes, right? They wear the horseshoes, so that would be permissible also to do on Chol HaMoed. Which means in the times of the Gemara, the ground was soft, and therefore wasn't necessary for them to wear horseshoes, so they would go barefoot. So they would just need to cut their nails so they could walk comfortably. However, now that there's horseshoes, he said be permissible if you need it to make the horseshoe as well. Comes the Gemara and continues and says, Aval hamrad rechaya lo. Which means they used to have a hamor that used to turn the millstone. meaning on the top millstone, they used to tie it to a hamor, and he would walk in a circle, and that would cause the millstone to spin and turn, and that would crush the wheat underneath. So the Gemara is saying that the hamrare hayah, that the hamor of the millstone, the millstone hamor, you cannot cut its nails. Rashi top line, sheken osin sheyut tohanin agav hamorim lo matzeh lemishkal lahu hamrat siponav de lo matzeh lemitchan b'moed ela letzorech moed, which means because in chol moed you're only allowed to grind wheat for the tzorech of the moed. Now that's not a lot of wheat. So for the little amount, he'll be able to grind, even though his nails are long. It might be a little discomfort for the animal, but for the small amount that you could do on Chol HaMoed, we're not going to allow you to cut its nails. Rabbi Yehuda shara lemishkal tufre lechavra derechaya. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, allowed to even cut the nails of hamra rechaya, of this hamor that was turning the millstone. Ulukme rechaya, and he also has let you establish, means to set up the rechayim, the millstone on Chol HaMoed. Ulmuchne rechaya. Ulmibne rechaya. He even let you build the millstone from scratch on Chol HaMoed. Some do not have that girsa. Ulmibne rechaya. Ulmibne amat rechaya. That you can also build the frame around the rechaim. It seems that the stones were in a frame, so you could build that frame. Ulmibne uraya. Uraya is like a barn or a stable for horses. The Gemara now tells us different rulings. Rav shara lisiruke susaya. Rav allowed to comb a horse on Chol HaMoed. Now what are you combing the horse for? So the Mefarshim explain, because when you're riding on a horse, if it's not combed, it's not kavod for the rider. I guess the horse looks unkempt. So for kavod of the rider, that he should be riding on a comely horse, it'd be permissible to comb it even on Chol HaMoed, of course, with the metal combs. Ulmibne arkafita. Arkafita, according to Rashi, is a trough, and according to the Tosafot, it is a type of bench used for sitting. Or Rashi is a trough, that's where the animal eats from. Ulmibne itztaba. Itztaba is a type of wall or a bench also made out of stones. Rabbah shara lemishkal dama lebehema b'chola demo'ada. Rabbah allowed to bloodlet from an animal on Chol HaMoed, which means it seems it's medicinal or healthy for the animal, so it is permissible to let blood out of the animal. Amad Abaye, Tanya de Messiah, we have a proof to this opinion. Mekizin dan the behema, that you're allowed to bloodlet from the behema, the in mun'im refu'a le behema b'cholosh el mu'ed. And we do not refrain from doing any medicinal work for an animal on Chol HaMoed. Now, Tosfot says, must be talking about, we're talking about a medicine, a refuah that entails melacha. And the hadush is, even if it entails a melacha, it's permissible on Chol HaMoed. Because Tosfot says, if it doesn't entail melacha, it's permissible even on Shabbat to give medicine to animals. Because this whole gezerah against medicine that you might come to grind on the tzasur on Shabbat is only asur to the human beings. But the rabbis never made a gezerah on animals giving them medicine on Shabbat, so long as there's no other melacha involved. However, on Chol HaMoed, the hadush is, even if there's a melacha entailed in giving them the medicine, to the animals that is, it would be permissible. Rava shara lekaskuse kirme. Rava allowed in Chol HaMoed the kaskuse kirme. What does this mean? So that she learns, this is talking about to iron or to press, we should say, to press the garments. Maitama ma'ase hidyotu. Because this type of pressing was not a professional way of doing it, and therefore he says it is permissible. Amar b'Yitzhak bar Ame, Amar of Hasda, Kiture bire asir. What is Kiture bire? So that she gives two interpretations. One interpretation is, is the Shnaharin, actually the first interpretation I'll tell you is that what he says secondly is to make pleats. It seems they would, there was a certain way they would make pleats in the garment, or the first interpretation is they would take different type of kelim and they would rub it against the garment in order to smoothen the garment out. That's Keturei Bireh. So again, either making pleats in the garment or smoothing it out. Asir, it's asur on Chol HaMoed. My ta'ama, ma'asi umanu. Because that is considered professional labor. Amar Rabba, man dematkil ara. Okay, somebody that is digging in the ground on Chol HaMoed. He's digging. Adata debe dare share. If his intention is to make the ground fit for threshing, bed that is a threshing ground, so then it's permissible. Adata de ara asur. But if you're doing it for plowing purposes to benefit the ground, so certainly it's going to be asur. So now the Gemara is going to ask, well, how do you know what makes the ground fit for threshing and what makes the ground fit for plowing? So the Gemara is going to explain. What's the case? Mulya bimulya. If you have a mound of dirt, that's a mulya, and you dig it, and after you dig the dirt, you dig it up, and you put it back in the mound. Mulya bimulya. Which means you put a, take dirt from a mound, you dig it and put it back in a mound. Or vinsa binatsa. Or you take the dirt from a hole and put it back in the hole. Adata de bedare. That already is for the bedare. That is means you're doing it for threshing. It seems, according to this Gemara, at least our text, you didn't need a flat ground for threshing. Even a mound of dirt is feasible for threshing. However, shakal mulya, if you take from a mound of dirt, vishada benatza, and you put the dirt in a hole, meaning you're flattening the ground, or then it says, shakal mulya vishada benatza, adata de'ara. So then already, you must be doing it for planting purposes, and that's for the purpose of planting, which is going to be asur, which is like plowing. Now, the Mefarshim learned the Gemara of a different Girtzah, which makes a little more sense to say the opposite. That when you're making the ground flat, now it's fit for threshing. Because how do you thresh? You have to bang the wheat on the ground. How are you going to bang it if there's a mound of dirt? So therefore, they say the opposite. If it's mulya bin tzah, meaning if you put from the mound of dirt, you pour the dirt in the hole, and now the ground on top is flat, that is going to be permissible, because you're preparing it for threshing, which is permissible to thresh on Chol HaMoed. However, mulya bin mulya, if you're just digging from a mound and putting the dirt back on the mound, or in the hole and putting the dirt back in the hole, that's for hirisha purposes, because you're just softening the ground and you put the seeds in, so that would be asur. So there's two opposite ways of learning the Gemara. Is a flat ground beneficial for the threshing, or is the mound beneficial for the threshing? And the nafka menah is going to be which one is going to be permissible in Chol HaMoed. V'amar Rabba said, "Hai man dezakeh zikaya." This person that what he is cleaning or sweeping the karka. Which means it seems the ground has on it different, let's say, small pieces of wood. So he wants to clean the pieces of wood up. So again, Hayman dezakeh zikaya. This person over there is cleaning up the ground. Adarta detzibe. If he's doing it in order to keep the wood, meaning he wants to use the wood that he collects for fire, share, it's mutar. Adarta de'ara. But if he's doing it to enhance the ground, he wants to get all those pieces of wood off the ground to enhance the ground, that's going to be asir, because you cannot do any work, labor for the ground on Chol HaMoed. So, how do you know? How do you know what he's doing it for? So Shakir Rabrebe, if he takes just the big pieces of wood, the Shabig Zutre, and he leaves the small pieces of wood, Adata Detzive, then we know he's using it for a fire, because usually you take the big pieces of wood. However, Shakir Rabrebe Vizutre, if he's taking both the big pieces and the small pieces, then he wants to just clean the ground to make it fit for planting. Adata Dara, and that would be Asur, because he's doing it for the ground. Rabba said, person, let's say, opens up a gate in order to let water into his field. If his intention is so the fish will flow into his field so he can catch the fish, that's permissible. But if he's doing it so the water can come and irrigate his field on Chol HaMoed, that's going to be asur. So the Gemara says, "Hechidame, what's the case? Let's say he opened up two gates. One upper gate to let the water in, and one lower gate to let the water out, which means he has the water coming in from a source, and it's going through a ditch in his field. And it seems that when the water gushes through, there's fish in the water. So the fish gets stuck in the ditch, and he opens a second door to let the water irrigate out of his field. So therefore you see he's not interested in saving the water because it's draining. He has two doors, one to let it in, just so the fish get caught in the ditch, and then another gate to let it out. So therefore it's permissible because you see he's doing it for the fish. However, that's for the fish. But if he opens up only one to let the water in, because he wants it to collect in the ditch in order to save it for the field, that would be asur. V'amar Abba, Hayman defashach dikla. This person over here that's removing branches from his tree, from his dekel, from his tree, on Chol HaMoed. Adarta dechiyuta shari. Which means, if he's doing it in order to give the branches to his animals to feed, so therefore it's permissible. Adarta dekla asir. But if he's doing it in order to enhance the tree, meaning like a pruning of the tree, then it's asur. Well, how do you know? Shakil kule mechad gisa adata dechayuta. If he only takes pieces of wood from one side of the tree, for example, he takes the moist pieces of wood from one side of the tree, so you see he's not pruning. Because if he was pruning, he'd do all the sides of the tree. So then we say it's mutar, because he's doing it in order to give it to the animals to eat. Mehai gisa, mehai gisa. But if he's doing it from both sides of the tree, then adata de deklav asir. Then we say he's doing it for the purpose of the pruning of the tree, and it's going to be asur. Rashi says over here, adata de hayuta, de reuyin de ma'achal behema, de nakat mina anafim de mehad gisa, ben lachin ben yevishin. So Rashi says, whether you take the moist ones or the dry ones, they're both edible. But only if you take from one side. However, if you only took from one side, which means if you take from both sides, so then already it's obvious that you're doing it for pruning purposes, and you're taking the obviously dry woods also if you're doing it for pruning purposes only, and therefore it's going to be asur. Hani tamre tuchalne. These type of dates that they did not ripen yet. Tuchalne is unripened dates. Migzirinu shari. Migzirinu means, according to Rashi, you're allowed to cut them open and eat them on Yom Tov. Because you're doing it for Yom Tov, which means you're not plucking them off the tree. They're off the tree already. It didn't ripen yet. So you want to open them up in order to eat them on Yom Tov, this is permissible. However, maitsinu asir, to press them is going to be asur, which is, let's say you want to make dried figs. Now, if you're going to leave them in this way over here, since they're not ripened yet, if you don't take the juice out of them, they're going to spoil. So the Gemara says, no, that since you're doing it for the purpose of after the holiday, so therefore you're not allowed to press them to take the juice out of it for a future date in order to make them dry. Look at Rashi. Maitzinu asu, that's in the first wide line. Lechovshan bimasui. Right, to put a weight on them, to press them. Umotzi lehashibahim lahot, to take out the liquid from them, the moisture. Hainu asur, sha'achshav enam nitla'im. אלא לעשות הם סימוקים לאוכלם בחול, הוא מכוון. Which means, ועשו לתקן ביום טוב מאכל בחול. Right, and this is on Yom Tov he's talking now. You want to prepare these on Yom Tov to eat it during the chol. That's going to be asur. So it seems that now these items over here, when you, if you're not going to take the moisture out, they're going to become wormy. That she said. So therefore, the guy wants to just dry them out now for a future day to make dried figs out of them. Asur, because she's preparing from Yom Tov for Chol. Rapapa, or I should say, even from Chol HaMoed would be asur as well, because you're doing it from Chol HaMoed for after the holiday. So the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar Kevan de Mitle'eh. Now, if you're not going to dry these out, they're going to become wormy. Kefrak matya aved dameh v'shari. It's like merchandise that if you don't deal with it and tend to it, it's going to cause a loss. So therefore, it's permissible. So therefore, he's considering this like a loss. And we know that you could do work on Chol HaMoed if there's financial loss. So this is like prak matya, merchandise that has a loss because the dates is like his merchandise. So therefore, if you're not gonna dry it out, they're going to become wormy. So therefore, it's permissible, he says, on Chol HaMoed. Even though the loss, incidentally, is not so great. But the halacha is that if merchandise is becoming ruined, even a little loss, it is permissible. And therefore, it is permissible according to the papa. V'amar Rabba, prakmatia kol shehu asur. Transacting in business, any type of transacting in business, is asur on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abin, ubedavar aved mutar. However, if it's davar aved, which means if it's going to incur a person a financial loss, it is going to be mutar. Now Tosafot explains that when we say davara aved, that if it's going to cause them a loss, it means a loss from the principal. However, if it's just that he's not going to make more profit, so then already that's not considered davar aved. The Rosh brings down from the Yerushalmi that let's say on Chol HaMoed, a certain merchandise comes up that you would not be able to find after the Moed. For example, say the show. There's a show and all the vendors are in town, and if you're not going to go to that show, it's going to be hard to find them again, or they're selling for a cheaper price, and you're not going to find them after Chol HaMoed. So therefore he says that's considered permissible on Chol HaMoed. That's considered a hefsed. In any event, here's the Gemara continues. Ravina hava le'ahu eska. Ravina had a certain merchandise, a certain business. Hava mizdaben b'shita alfe. He was able to sell the goods for 6,000. However, shahaya lizbune batar cholad mo'ada. He waited. He didn't want to sell on Chol HaMoed. He followed the halakha. He doesn't want to sell. So he waited to sell the merchandise till after Chol HaMoed. Vizabne betresar alfein. He was able to get double. He was able to sell it for 12,000. That's what I was trying to say, because he kept the halakha of not doing buying and selling on Chol HaMoed, so he got double his money after the Chol HaMoed. Ravina v'masig zuzeh b'bnei akra d'shanu ata. Ravina was owed money by the people of Akra d'shanu ata. It's the name of a place. They owed him money. So he came to Rav Asher. Amale maule mezale idana alai. Can I go on Chol HaMoed to collect my debt? Amale kevan da idana hava de mashkachat lehu biyome acharina lo mashkachat lehu. Since on Chol HaMoed you're going to find them because they're home, they're in their houses on Chol HaMoed, everybody's home, and on another day you're not going to be able to find them. So therefore, kefrak matya aved dameh v'shari. It's like a financial loss in your merchandise, and therefore it's permissible. Which means he wanted to collect his debt, but it's a tirchah. He's got to go to that city and collect it. He wanted to know, can you do it on Chol HaMoed? So he told him mutar, because since they're available, they're in the city, you know, you're going to be able to find them. So therefore, go get them. Go get your money, because after Chol HaMoed they're not going to be around anymore. So therefore, it's like davar aved. Go find them where they are. So therefore, he allowed him to go get his money from those people. Look at Gemara further. Tanya, we have a braita similar to this. Gabe Avodah Zarah. We learned by Avodah Zarah, it says that really 3 days before the holiday, you're really not allowed to transact with the goyim, because any money that they make 3 days before the holiday, they are very thankful, and they're going to praise their Avodah Zarah because of it. So we don't want to be the cause of them praising the Avodah Zarah. So it says, Tanya nameg abe Avodah Zarah ki agavna. Similarly, we have a bright of Avodah Zarah. Holchim liyirid shel akum. You're allowed to go to the market. That would be like the trade show of the goyim, of the avodah zara, velokhim behema, you could buy from them animals, avadim, slaves, shefachot, servants, batim, houses, sadot, fields, keramim, vineyards, vechotev, umarale ba'arkaot shelahem, and you can even write these document of sale in their courts. You can go to their courts and write up the shtad. Now, even though if you're going to go into their courts and sign it, they might give praise to their avodah zarah that they were selling, that they were able to sell the goods. So the Gemara says, you know why? Because it's as if you're saving these goods from their hands. Meaning, once they're in the market, you found them, this merchandise is not going to be there anymore. So therefore, it's like you are saving the goods from them. Which means, in this case over here, we have a situation where you really shouldn't transact with the goyim before the holiday. But over here, you're not going to find them after the holiday. They're not around. So therefore, it's considered like davar aved, and therefore it is permissible. So again, it's permissible to go to the trade show of the Akum, on the holiday even, in order to buy from them these type of goods, and to write the shtarot in the harkaot, in their courts, even though you're giving them kavod, and you might go to praise their avodah zarah, because it's considered matzil meidam, you're saving it from them, which means right now they're here. If you don't buy it now, you might not be able to buy it again. Therefore, similarly on Chol HaMoed, the rabbi said, go collect your debt. They're home now. If you're not going to get it on Chol HaMoed, you're not going to find them after. If you're not going to find them after, it's going to be considered like the Devar Avet, so he allowed them to collect it on Chol HaMoed. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.